some of the best Greek students I've ever had have been girls. So some of you girls, I would prefer you to come take it. I would use you as a motivation for the guys. You know, guys hate to be, hey, this girl's outdoing you. What's wrong with y'all? Come on. You know. So you can be a help to me if you want to come and take Greek. Be great. Turn your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter 3. May I say to you that I stand in front of you this morning excited. Every day for the last 22 years that I've got to get up and come to this school to work, I have been excited. I mean, I get to do this. Not one time in that time over those years has it been, I have to go do this. No, I am excited about what the Lord has allowed me to do here. And I praise him for it. This morning, I want to preach to you out of the book of Daniel. Question, how many of you in here are teenagers? Raise your hand. Teenagers. Wow. Back up real high. Look, how many teenagers we have here? I'm really surprised. I thought there'd be fewer. Hey, may I say this to all of you? This message is for you. Every single person in this room will be brought to the place that Daniel was brought to at some point in your life. Not only will you be brought to it at least once, chances are you're going to be brought to it over and over and over. But I'm here to tell you, based on how you handle the first time, will have a lot to do with the rest of the times that you're brought to this place of decision. Chapter 3, verse number 10, is where I want to begin reading. And I asked you to turn there sort of for two-point reason. I am going to use this verse, but I wanted to throw you off of where you thought I was going to preach. Chapter 3, verse 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now go back over to chapter number 1, please. In chapter number 1. I will not read all the verses that I will refer to, but I will read verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the eunuchs, prince of the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. I want to preach a message to you this morning that I've entitled, What Are You Going to Take a Stand For? What are you going to take a stand for? Here in verse number 8, we find Daniel making that decision that he's going to stand. This word purposed in verse number 8 means a steadfast, determined commitment to persevere. A determined, steadfast commitment to persevere. Now, that's a mouthful of definition. I understand that. I asked a question about you being teenagers for this reason. Probably. Most of the commentarians that you research on this issue will say this, at least most of the ones I referred to said this, that Daniel was probably around 17 years of age here when he makes the decision in verse number 8 that he makes. So see, you don't have to be an old man to take a stand for that which is right. Of course, you heard a message just last week in the open revival about Joseph making a similar type of decision. Of course, we could go to Moses and also and find out that Moses, probably at an early age, made a similar type of decision. So it is definitely a decision that young people can make, and it definitely will lay a foundation and affect the rest of your life after you've made that decision. Let's pray and ask God's help, and then we'll come back and get started more. Father, we ask you now to help us as we look into this passage of Scripture. Lord, may the principles that we find here settle deep into our hearts, and may it be a help not just to the young people here, but all of us, realizing that we all are going to continue to have to make stands for that which is right. So we pray your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. Think with me, please, about some of the characteristics or the surroundings that Daniel now finds himself in. We find in the first two verses, of course, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, comes against Judah, the king of Judah, Jehoiakim. And it says there that he besieges it. In verse 2, it tells us that Jehoiakim, God allows him to be delivered into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. May I say to you that that is because of the disobedience and the wicked sin of Judah. That's when discipline comes. So we see this as a part of God's discipline on him. He takes the vessels of gold and silver out of the house and takes it over to Shinar and puts it into the house of his God in verse number 2. Verse number 3, it says, and the king spake to Aspenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. The first thing you see here in verses 3 and 4 is that Daniel finds himself in a very conditioned environment. Can I say to you, you are in a conditioned environment here. There's a big difference, though. The environment that Daniel finds himself in here, they were wanting to brainwash them. We're wanting to heartwash you. There's a big difference. The world wants to brainwash you. God wants you heartwashed. If he can get you heartwashed, then he knows that sooner or later he'll get your brain right. But here, they were in that conditioned environment. This king and all the people that he had put under him had meticulously planned all the conditions in which these Hebrew children find themselves. And every step of it was meant to change them. A conditioned environment. Now with that, verse number 4, you see here the last part, that they may teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Not only were they in this conditioned environment, but they were in a situation where they wanted to control their thinking. Hey, we don't want to control your thinking, but we want to teach you how to think with the Word of God. Because we're not going to always be there to, quote, to control you. We want you to know how to use the Word of God in situations as they arise on your own with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so there's a difference. But they wanted to control their thinking. Notice verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Oh, they find themselves in a situation where now they're wanting to conform their habits. You know, by the time you reach 17, you pretty much have eating habits down. You're either going to kick against what's put in front of you, you're going to eat it and enjoy it. And thank God for it, right? My mama and my wife will tell you this. She always cooked me what she knew I wanted. I need to go see my mom today. You know what? I guarantee you when we get there, she's going to have what I like fixed, didn't she, Renee? My wife has told her more than once, you didn't do me any favors when you cooked for your son. And when we first got married, you know, I would tell Renee, hey, I don't want what you fixed. Yeah, you're right. That was a bad idea. That was not good. The kissing wasn't good after that. So I learned real quick to, you know, change that. But anyway, your eating habits are pretty conformed by the time you hit 17. But here's a group of young men that the king meant to change their eating habits. Now, that goes a little deeper than you might realize, okay? And the reason why that goes a little deeper than you think is their eating habits for a good Jew was dictated by the Lord, okay? I mean, if I wanted to take time in this message, I would take you to Leviticus chapter 11. You'd go there sometime. And you'll see in Leviticus chapter 11 that the Lord lays out the diet that a good Jew was supposed to have. Now, when I say a good Jew, I'm talking about a Jew that whose heart desire was to honor his God. That Jew then would determine to eat only that which had been laid out in that chapter. And that's where we find Daniel here. That's the basis of verse number 8. This purpose, this commitment that he was going to persevere. Persevere in what area? That which he had been taught. That position that he knew was going to honor God, that was what he was purposing toward, because that chapter 11 told him, hey, you not to eat certain things. You are to eat certain things. Now, let me change gears right there. You say, hey, aren't we glad that we don't have to obey chapter 11 in our lives today? Hey, there's some principles in that chapter you still do, and I still do. Let me reference them, please. Verse 45 through 47 of chapter 11, Leviticus, you'll have two verses there that the Apostle Peter quotes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. I just refer to him. He basically said, as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You'll find that that is a quote from Leviticus chapter number 11. Yes, he doesn't make a reference to that, to the food in that chapter, but guess what? Food is not the only thing in which we were supposed to be holy in. So there's a personal application, therefore. There's a lot of things in my life that I am to purpose that I'm going to not eat or not do, because if I do them, I will cease to be being holy for my Lord. Now, that's Daniel's position. That's what he determined out of that chapter 11. Not only what not to eat and what to eat, but why he wasn't supposed to. So they were wanting to conform their habits. Verse 6 and 7, notice. Now, I'll get to my points here in a minute. This is introductory. Now, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, but unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Here we see that they were trying to get them to compromise their beliefs. You say, what are you talking about, trying to get... Yeah, in verse 5, you find Jewish names. Daniel, God is my judge. Hananiah, graces of the Lord. Mishael, who is like God. Azariah, the Lord is help. You step into verse number 7 and you find out, hey, they're going to change his name to Belteshazzar, which means Baal's prince. False god Baal, Baal's prince, or Baal's treasure. You see Shadrach means the inspiration of the sun. You find Meshach, which is who is like Shaq. And we're not talking about the basketball player. The word Shaq is a Chaldean word, an equivalent to the word Venus. So it's basically saying who is like unto Venus. Okay? The word venereal comes from the word Venus. If that tells you anything about the worship of Venus. We find Abednego meaning servant of the shining fire, another reference to Baal worship, the worship of the sun. Here in verse 6, you see Judaism name. In verse 7, you see Babylonian name. They're trying to get them to compromise their religion. May I say to you, the world is out to get you to compromise your religion, what you believe. And if they can get you to compromise in one little area, they have the crack that they'll pry your whole spiritual life open with. So we see they're trying to compromise. Now, one other thing before we move on. Notice verse 3. It says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs. Notice verse number 7. And to whom the prince of the eunuchs. Verse number 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Verse number 10. And the prince of the eunuchs. Verse number 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs. May I say to you, the fifth thing that this person Daniel and his Hebrew friends find themselves, not only are they in a conditioned environment, not only are they in a situation where their thinking is going to be controlled and the conforming of their habits and the compromise of their beliefs, but they have had their bodies changed. All these young men now are eunuchs. Have you ever seen a time in America where more people were wanting to change their bodies? Where does that come from? Well, it doesn't come from the Bible, that's for sure. Not being satisfied with the way God's made you. Hey, you don't have to become a eunuch or a homosexual to be dissatisfied with the body God's given you. Now, I'm not talking about... I am talking about how you control your body. But I'm not talking about going and changing your body. You have no business changing your body. That's free. Anyway, come back to this. These individuals were changed. And that is the environment now. That's the backdrop to the decision that Daniel makes. And we see that he was in an environment that was out of his control. You ever find yourself in a situation where you're not in control? You ever find yourself in circumstances that were not of your making, but of others? What are you going to do in a situation like that? Are you going to roll with the flow? Are you going to do what everybody else is doing? Or are you going to take a stand for what is right? Well, Daniel determined that he was going to take that stand. Now, understand this, no matter what happened to it. Now, you've got to understand, he was in a situation. He is now a prisoner in a foreign land. He is under the authority of cruel men. And he made this decision. You know, he was in a situation and said, wait a minute, I don't want to eat that. Well, you got to. I don't want to. Well, you got to. Well, I'll take the consequences of not doing it. That's where he puts himself now. He could have put himself in a situation where he would have been beaten. He would have put himself in a situation where, all right, if you don't want to eat it, you won't get anything, starving. Or death. You know, other countries, when they'd come in and conquer a country, bring back people that were going to be their servants. If a servant rebelled, well, they're just a servant. Take him out. That's where Daniel finds himself. And it's in that environment that he makes this decision. Now, may I say to all of us that there's three things that I see in chapter 1 through chapter 6, and I'll try to do this quickly. You know, there's one benefit of getting older. I can't see that clock anymore, so it has no bearing on me whatsoever. But there's three things that I see in these first six chapters of Daniel that is a direct result of him making the purposed heart decision in verse number 8. The first thing that I want us to see this morning is because he had this purposed heart, he submits to God over the teaching of men. I refer you again to Leviticus chapter number 11. He chose to submit to God and obey his word over the teachings of men. Now, the country of Babylon, the now ruler of the known world. Of course, most people would say, oh, you're the ruler of the known world. You know better and more than anybody else on the face of the earth. Therefore, we will listen to you. Daniel said, no, I'm not. I'm not. My God knows best for me. I'm going to listen to what my God says for me. Over the academic instruction of successful men. Now, I'm not telling you to be a rebel. By no means am I telling you to be a rebel. I am telling you to obey God's word, though. And there's going to be many situations over your lifetime that academic, successful men in the sight of the world are going to tell you this is best for you. And it's going to be in total contradiction to what this book says. What are you going to do? Daniel submitted to God over the teachings of men. Biblical principle in the New Testament in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 19 and 20 and Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's your biblical principle. Some of you that are here for a one-year Bible and after that you're going to go somewhere else, get another education. You step into the public realm of education and you're going to have teachers every single day that will tell you that if you believe in God, you're a fool. To live that way, you're a fool. And they'll tell you that. I had more than one tell me to my face that I was a fool. Daniel followed God's word. He allowed God's word to dictate his behavior. He allowed God's word to be his decision. We must as well. See, he purposed to live holy. He knew that that verse in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45 told him to be holy. He understood that. By the way, we, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9, are told to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. What tells us what's good? This book right here tells us what's good. The Bible teaches that the false teacher, their belly tells them what's good. What's that making a reference to? It's making a reference to their fleshly desires tells them what's good. Not for us. We, like Daniel, should let God's word tell us what is good. and submit to that teaching of God over the teaching of any man. You know, we are not under as much pressure as Daniel was. Can you imagine the pressure that Daniel was under as a young teenage person with the leaders of the country saying, this is the food that you are to eat. And him knowing that if he did, that he would defile himself before his God. Imagine that pressure. Imagine the pressure, you know, what him thinking, you know, if I say no to this, you know, I could get beaten. Anybody in here like to be beat? Beaten? No? Well, Daniel, I don't think did either. How many of you would like to starve to death? Well, I know the answer to that looking around the room. None of us. Well, they could kill me. Well, that would usher me into the presence of my God that is holy and tells me to be holy. That was his choice. He was willing to take that choice. Now, three things about his submission to God over the teaching of man. First of all, we see that God blessed his individual choice. God blessed him. Notice verse number 17. As for those four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Notice also back over verse number 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch. Now, who had done that? God had brought him. You know, when your ways please the Lord, he makes your enemies to be at peace with you. And here we see that God gave him a tender relationship, and a loving relationship with his supervisor. God blessed his individual choice. That's amazing to see. And I've lived long enough to see that God will bless obedience. See, dishonoring God's word is the first step of disobedience. And here, he was not willing to do that, and God blessed that. The second thing about this decision, not only did God bless his individual choice, but Daniel influenced his friends. Notice verse number 12. Prove thy servants, plural. Now, Daniel had made the decision in verse number 8. Down through the rest of these verses, you see the interaction between him and the supervisors. And now Daniel challenges them and says, prove your servants, plural. Let's go on down. I beseech thee 10 days and let them give us, plural, pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our, plural, countenances, plural, be looked upon before thee and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants, plural. And so you see in 12 through 13 there, verse 14, so he consented to them. All of a sudden, his friends get on board with him. It's amazing how a decision for right will put you in the position to influence friends. And the lack thereof removes that opportunity. But God blessed his individual choice, and he was able to influence his individual friends. Now, the verse I read earlier over in Daniel chapter 3, where they were told to bow down. What's interesting, you do not find Daniel in that context. Sort of interesting. I think he was off at some official governmental business, and he wasn't there for that. But in verse number 18, you find those three Hebrew children that had been commanded to bow down and said, King, we're not going to do that. God can save us as he wants to, but we're not bowing down. That decision in chapter 3 comes back to chapter 1 and Daniel's decision in verse number 8 and how he influenced his friends, strengthened them. But number 3, notice verse number 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Not only did God bless his individual choice, not only was he able to influence his friends, but number 3, Daniel impressed those over him and around him. Here we see that love and relationship. Now notice verse number 19, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. They impressed the leadership. Go over to chapter 2, please. Notice verse number 14. It says, "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel," which is an odd thing, a servant. "Then Daniel went in and desired of the king." Again, he impresses the king and he gets an extension. We find the same thing. Go over to chapter 6 real quick, please. Chapter 6, notice verse number 3. "Then they brought the..." I guess I better get in chapter 6, which is 5. "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." And of course, we could read the rest of that section right there, and we'd find out that the king was impressed. The other presidents and counselors, they were also impressed. You say, wait a minute, Brother Kemp, they recommended to throw him in a lion's den. But they only did that because they knew that they couldn't find anything against his work ethic. They couldn't find anything against his honesty. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that Daniel was preferred before them. And jealousy sits in. Yeah, not only are you going to impress some, but you're going to incite others. Don't be surprised when some people are not going to like you for what you do right. Because they're not going to. So he impresses the leader. Hey, because of what kind of character he had, what kind of man he was, he impressed some. My point is this. He submitted to the teaching of God over the academic teaching of men. Number 2 this morning. Because he had a purposed heart, Daniel spotlighted God when others were spotlighting themselves. You say spotlighting, that's a strange point. What's a spotlight for? You know, Brother Bill last week talked about the Reader's Theater that he did when he was a student, and the makeshift lights that they fixed up. Some of those were spotlights, weren't they? And it was for the purpose of shining on the person that was doing the reading. And, you know, they'd go on, fade on and off a person, and fade on and off another person. Why? Because you wanted the attention to be focused upon that person at that time. Here's my point. Daniel was spotlighting God when all others were spotlighting themselves. Who are you going to magnify in your life? Are you going to point others to the Lord? Or are you going to, when somebody, oh, yeah, brother, that was a great sermon. Oh, thank you, I do have a great voice, don't I? Oh, that was a great sermon. Oh, my preaching ability is uncanny, isn't it? Or, you know, you're going to accept the glory yourself? Or are you going to, hey, it's God, praise God, for His glory. And here we find Daniel that's what he did. Notice chapter 2. Back in chapter 2, and notice verse number 18, please. It says that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. Now notice that little phrase, God of heaven. Notice verse number 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Listen, Daniel kept God where God belonged. He's recognizing his position here as the God. Remember, Daniel's name means God is my judge. By the way, if that thought ever really soaks into our thinking, that God is our judge, it will definitely change the attention that we give toward Him. But anyway, back here, verse number 23 of this chapter, "I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers." Notice he is giving God praise in this verse. He's putting the spotlight right on God. Notice verse number 28, "But there is a God in heaven." Notice verse number 37, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom." Notice verse number 44, this same chapter. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven..." Notice also verse number 45, "In forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known." Verse number 47, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal the secret. Now, I could have used that verse to support my point that Daniel impressed others. He impressed him to the extent that he started getting just a little glimpse of the God that Daniel was serving. But here we see Daniel spotlighting God. We could go into chapter number 3, and we could see the same thing there in verse 26 and verse number 29 and chapter 4 and verse number 3. And that in those places, he's called the Most High God. The Most High God. Turn over to chapter 4. This is quite interesting to me. Chapter 4, and notice verse number 27. Here's Daniel speaking to the king. He says, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Woo, it's amazing that Daniel here, a servant, is saying, hey, king, you're living in sin. Woo-hoo. That don't get you too many brownie points. That don't get you usually a raise. You know, that's not too... But he was brave enough to confront the king. Why? God's my judge, is what Daniel's thinking. And I've got to... Hey, as a good president, as a good counselor to the king, he had to say, king, this is not good in your life. This is going to shorten your life. This is for your good. You know, every counselor is going to have to do that from time to time to people they might work with for their good. My wife has confronted me on many occasions, Frank, you didn't think this through. It was a good thing that she did, you know. She was a helpmeet there. You know, for you girls that are married, if your husband has done something stupid and you won't tell him, hey, you didn't think that, and you can do it with tact. But if you don't let him know that, you're not being a helpmeet to him. You can't help him to become the best he can be if you just sit back and keep your mouth shut. That's free. Anyway, back to this. We see that he was spotlighting God when other men were spotlighting themselves. See, he saw God for who God was. He saw God as the holy God of the universe, and I'm answerable to him. So therefore, he saw himself as he was, as a servant to God. And he saw the sin as it would have been against the holy God. You know, Joseph made the same statement to Potiphar, how can I sin against God? Listen, as long as you see sin as just something that's against other people, you'll always justify its fulfillment. Because you'll always, it will be easy for you to justify yourself. Well, you know, I'm more important than he is. I deserve this. But when you see that sin is against God, then all of a sudden it comes to a screeching halt. And he saw himself as a servant of God. Therefore, he was willing to confront the king, and in doing so, spotlight God. Listen, king, you're sinning against the God of heaven. And you need to listen, because if you don't, God's going to teach you. He's going to remove you until you learn that he's in control. But we see this in his life. Now, we could go through the scriptures and we could see a number of different men that came to this realization. You know, I heard Dr. Comfort preach a message back in 1980 that changed my life. It was on the holiness of God. And in that message, he pointed out, you know, about Isaiah when he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, I am undone. Jeremiah, when he saw God for who he was, he said, I am but a child. When Moses saw God for who he was, he said, I can't speak. When Job saw God for who he was, he said, I abhor myself. When John the Baptist saw the Lord for who he is, I must decrease, he must increase. We could step into David's life. David says, I'm just a worm. You step into Paul's life and what he said, I am less than the least. I'm the chief of sinners. You could step into Mary, the mother of Jesus' life. What would she say? Be it unto a handmaid. Have you ever slowed down long enough to look full in the face of our Lord and realize who he is and that he deserves you spotlighting him instead of spotlighting yourself? I'm here to tell you it would change a whole lot of things. But we see Daniel this morning submitting to the teaching of God over the academic teaching of men. Number two, we see him spotlighting God when most of the other people were spotlighting themselves. And number three, quickly, chapter 2 again, please. And notice verse number 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made known the thing to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. We see, my third point, is Daniel, because of his purposed heart, seeks God over seeking men. Now, yeah, he went to his friends and he told them, but the purpose that he went to them for is, hey, we need to beseech heaven. We need to go to the throne. We need God to give us help. And that's what you find there in verse number 17 and verse number 18. Notice verse number 23 again. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might. Now notice, they prayed, God answered, and now he's back at the throne of God praising him for giving it to him. I've been in the ministry long enough to know that when most people have a problem, they come running to the preacher. Lord, preacher, I need help now. I've gotten to the place and have for years, my first statement to somebody that comes to my office, have you visited God yet? Have you talked to the Lord about this? Has the Lord answered any prayers for you concerning this situation? And most of the time, no, I haven't yet. No. Seek God before you seek men. Go to God. Yeah, I understand there's wisdom in the multitude of counsel. I'm not saying that. But seek God over that man. Seek what God has to say. Now, we could go over to chapter number 9 in Daniel, and we'd see in chapter number 9 that, yes, he is a great prayer warrior. And there in chapter 9, he confesses his sin. He confesses the sin of the nation of Israel. And he lays out before the Lord a burdened heart. And yes, God does answer again greatly there. Turn over to chapter 6 again, please. Yes, in chapter 6, probably the most famous chapter in Daniel. Everybody in this room clearly knows about Daniel and the den of lions. Although you might know it, Daniel and the lion's den. Right? You probably heard, hey, a lion's den does not denote any lions. A den of lions denotes lions. And here's Daniel in chapter number 6. He's faced with this new decree. Anybody that asked anything of anybody other than the king of Babylon is going to be thrown in the den of lions. Now, I want to pick up with verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He can fulfill chapter 6, verse 10 because of his decision in chapter 1, verse 8. It is the foundation. This decision here is easy, in my opinion. Why? Because of the difficulty of the original decision. You've got to think it through. And once you think it through, God will bring everybody in this room to a place somewhere. It may be total different circumstances than anyone else. Are you going to stand? Are you going to stand? What are you going to say? What are you going to do? I had a Dr. Killian at Western Carolina University in the spring semester of 1977 in a classroom of 100-plus students look at me and say, young man, anybody that believes in the deity of Jesus Christ is a fool. She turned and went back to her podium. Yes, Mr. Camp. That makes me a fool, ma'am. I believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, you may be called upon, put in a whole different circumstance. But I'm here to tell you that my decision that day to make that statement was a foundation for me to serve God today. If I'd have not stood up right there, how would I have known where I would have stood up? But God's going to call upon you to make a decision. It may be with your friends. Because, hey, let's go get a few beers tonight. No. Oh, let's watch this video tonight. No. And don't say I can't. Say I won't. Carries a whole different message. You better think it through and know what you're going to stand for. Here, we see him seeking God over man. Yes, the consequences of den of lions. He knew his God could take care of him. He had seen God take care of him before. He had seen God take care of his friends before. It comes down to seeking God over man. And here we see this, and it's all foundational. Again, my question to you, have you ever made this kind of decision? I mean, I look out across this congregation this morning, and I know many of you. I've known many of you for years. And I'm here to tell you to your face this morning, there's a lot of you I'm looking at this morning that's never made this decision. And it's time you did. You need to stop floundering around this Christian thing and get busy with making a decision that you're going to persevere for the things of God and not you, not what you want. Submit to the teaching of God over the academic teaching of men. Spotlight God when others are spotlighting themselves. And seek God instead of men. Father, we thank you this morning for the example of Daniel. I pray, dear God, that you'd take it and use it in all of our lives to be steadfast for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.